This is the Backup Quarterback Show with your hosts, Derek Anderson and Matt Howard.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Backup Quarterback Show, the only podcast that thinks Adam Levine should not be the lead singer of Maroon 5. My name is Matt Howard, along with the original backup quarterback, Derek Anderson. Derek, go ahead and say hi.
Hi, guys.
Go and say what we're talking about.
I was just going to say, we're like the only podcast out there that starts their Super Bowl week discussion on a Thursday night?
It's Thursday night, 3 days before the Super Bowl, because we've been studying.
We have been studying. I think ESPN's just been talking about how much they love Tom Brady for the past 2 weeks, and
all I know is Tom Brady's 41 and has five rings.
Tom Brady is 41, and I think he's going to remain having five rings.
That's an interesting take. So by what you're saying that the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl.
I have the Rams winning the Super Bowl.
What's final score?
We got 31-26.
26?
Yes.
How are they going to get to 26? Give me all the scores for the Patriots.
Well, I think they're going to have an odd scenario where they get to 26, but they're going to want to go for a two-point conversion, and they don't get it. That would cut it to a three-point game, and that's how it gets to 26.
All right, I like that. I have the New England Patriots. I said this from the beginning of the season. You can check the tapes. I've been with the Patriots since day one.
Okay, what's your score prediction?
17-16.
Wow, that's a low-scoring game for a Super Bowl.
I'm feeling a safety and five field goals for the Patriots by Steven Gostkowski. This is exciting for me because my two favorite kickers of all time, Steven Gostkowski and Greg the Leg Zuerlein, are both playing the game this weekend. So that's big for me because one of my guys is going to be happy. Let's jump into what we're talking about. We're talking about prop bets because we love prop bets here on the Backup Quarterback Show. Let's just go through some of our favorites we have. Which one do you want to start out with?
Let's just start off with one of the first ones of the game. Heads or tails?
Heads.
I've got tails. I've just always been on tails. It's whatever I call it. I know it's 50-50, but it just seems like it leans to tails more than often.
That's some good analysis there, Derek. This is a big one. Super Bowl MVP. A lot riding on this. Who you got?
Well, there's a couple of guys I'm looking at in this one. Usually it goes to the quarterback on the winning team. So you got Jared Goff at +250. But a sneaky play that could get you some big money is +1800 for Aaron Donald, who I think will be the defensive player of the year in the NFL, but he will not get the league MVP because I think Patrick Mahomes will get it. So I think they're going to find a way to, if he makes a couple big sacks and maybe forces a fumble in this game, I think they could find a way to give him the MVP.
I'm going to go a little bit off the wall on this one. You know, on this show, I like to keep it straightforward and don't make any like crazy predictions. Because I like to be right. But this time I'm going to go a little bit crazy. My MVP is going to be Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady's a good quarterback. He's got a good arm. I mean, it's going to be hard for him because he's never been in this position before where he's trying to win a Super Bowl. So it's going to be exciting to see what he does with that. But yeah, Tom Brady, sixth round pick in the NFL draft, which is not a good sign for a career. So that's why I'm going kind of deep on the board for that. I'm going to say that Tom Brady's going to get it. Another guy to look out for is Sony Michel. I've been saying that since day one too, that he's going to be the Super Bowl MVP.
A lot of money's come in lately on Sony Michel. I think I saw him earlier at maybe 20-1 odds, but now he's up to 12-1. So a lot of people are thinking Sony Michel's going to get a bulk of the carries and maybe get some touchdowns early to secure the MVP.
I'm interested in this. It's the very last name on the list. James Devlin. For some reason, I would not be shocked if he won MVP.
Yeah, you can never trust Bill Belichick. He always finds a way to run that fullback blast when you want Sony Michel to actually get the touchdown and the goal line. But if it all comes to it, if the Patriots win the Super Bowl, they're going to find a way to give the award to Tom Brady. It's they just find a way to do it. A couple of years ago, James White had 14 receptions in the game, which was a Super Bowl record, and they still gave the MVP to Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is 41, so we can't forget that when we're making these picks. Let's jump to this one. I'm pretty interested in how many plays will Tony Romo correctly predict during the game? And this is just insane to me that the line is only 7.5. Because I think in that game, the Kansas City game, I don't think he got one wrong the entire game.
Right.
I think he probably called 58 plays correctly in that game. So I would go, I'm not a betting man, but I would go with the over on that.
Yeah, I think I would go over 7.52, but I don't know what correctly assesses a correct prediction. Like if he just says, oh, they're going to run to the right here, would that be a correct? Or would he have to say they're running a sweep right?
That's a good point. That is kind of a tricky little bet. Yeah, you might want to stay away from that one. Let's see. What are some other fun ones? Let's not touch that one.
Anything on Maroon 5? Oh, the Gatorade.
Yeah, I just saw
that. All right. What color will the liquid be that is poured on the game-winning coach?
We can just assume it's going to be Gatorade.
Yeah.
Let's not be weird about it. Water. It's not going to be water.
It's not going to be water. It's got to be one of the big three Gatorade colors. You got yellow, the original lemon lime. I think
there's four big.
Yeah, I'd say there's a big four. And then you got orange, you got blue, and you got red.
It's not going to be purple. I don't think anyone in the NFL drinks purple Gatorade, period. Yeah. Which I guess would be a good thing to pour on the coach because no one's going to drink it anyway. Right. So why not just pour it out on someone who really wants it?
My intuition's saying orange at plus 300 because I think I can speak for most people. Most people like the orange Gatorade.
I think it's going to be orange too.
It goes over well with the entire team. But I haven't done any research on what color Gatorade these teams have been using throughout the season. But if I had to guess, I'd say orange is a good bet for the Super Bowl.
That is interesting because I have not been doing any research on that either. So that's going to be interesting to see that just wild guess that we have may pay off or not. What will be the first song performed by Maroon 5 at the Super Bowl?
Okay, well, the odds on favorite is Makes Me Wonder.
I've never even heard that song before, and I kind of like that band.
But given that all the other ones are more than 5-1 odds for the bet, it's something tells me that somebody already knows what the set list is going to be, and they let leak this information. So I would probably have to go with Makes Me Wonder. If I had to throw a shot in the dark, maybe This Love at plus 2,000. Pretty good song.
Sugar caught me very quickly. That's a fun song.
It is a fun Everyone loves really Sugar. Upbeat.
It is sponsored by Pepsi, and Pepsi uses sugar in their products. So that is something to keep in mind when it comes to this pick.
Speaking of the halftime show, I anticipate them starting off with a fast pop song and then transitioning maybe into a slower ballad, show Adam Levine's softer side. And then finishing with some upbeat hits.
We haven't done this, but I think a good comparison to do some research on would be the Coldplay halftime show. Oh, yeah. I think whatever Coldplay did, I think that Maroon 5 is going to try to mimic that to a certain degree. Now tell me this. This one caught my eye just now too. Will a non-QB throw a touchdown? I'm interested in that because it seems like there's always some wacky play that happens in the Super Bowl that kind of defines it. And I would not be shocked if that happened this time.
Well, judging from what we saw last year, there were two non-quarterback throws in last year's Super Bowl. One was by the Philadelphia Eagles, and they caught it for a touchdown. And the other one was from the Patriots. I think it was Edelman threw back to Tom Brady. And if y'all remember that, Tom Brady just went up and just fell right on his face.
It was very silly.
Looking at it this year, I think these defensive coordinators are going to be prepared for all the trick plays they could throw at him. And definitely in the red zone, you got to watch out for the quote-unquote Philly special that all the teams are running nowadays, seems like. And I don't see anybody from the Rams that has any throwing experience from the past. And then the only guy I can think of from the Patriots is Julian Edelman. And I know Wade Phillips is definitely going to be prepared for that.
Tell me this, flea flicker in the game?
I would actually say yes on the flea flicker bet because McDaniels loves to do that, and he just loves to do that. He did it in the last game, too.
That's interesting. That's a fun little fact. Maybe something to keep in mind. I've gone through all of them. Those are all the fun ones, I think. A lot of goofy commercial ones that aren't really that interesting to me. So this is what I want to do. How about you give me some of your last thoughts on the Super Bowl, what you think are going to be some key points of the game while I set up our new competition that I have set up for this podcast.
Okay. Well, some of the key points I want to make note of are the Rams, their running game last game, Todd Gurley was mitigated on only four carries, and CJ Anderson got a bulk of those. It's going to be interesting to see what split of carries they give the two of them, or even if they come out with both of them in the backfield at the same time. That's definitely going to be a headline.
Now, tell me this. Would you rather have Todd Gurley or CJ playing fullback?
I would definitely want to have CJ playing fullback. He's great running downhill. He's a big guy. He holds onto the ball pretty well. Another thing I'm looking for in this game is the Patriots have one of the best offensive lines in the league. And
no, offensive line, remind me what that is.
It's the five guys that block for the quarterback.
Okay,
and the
so they
backs.
Block for yep. Tom Brady.
And if the Rams want any chance of winning this game, Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh are going to have to disrupt Tom Brady's throwing lanes. And I know that's very cliche to say. All the announcers say it, but it's true. And Aaron Donald's going to have to be a top five player in this game if he wants to be a Super Bowl champion.
That's some good insight. You're bringing the heat tonight, and I respect it. And I feel like I'm on your back right now as you're carrying me through this podcast. But now it's time for a challenge for Derek Anderson. Derek Anderson is a self-proclaimed football master. He knows everything about the sport. He loves the NFL, as we all do here on the Backup Quarterback Show. But Derek really knows the stuff that no one else seems to know. So I'm going to challenge that right now. Derek, what I'm going to do, starting at number one, going up to 99, you have to name one player, past or present, in the history of the NFL who has worn that jersey number. You get three strikes, and you get one phone a friend. The friend is me, by the way.
Okay.
You have to, but I don't really know much, so I'm not going to be much help. So you get three strikes. Three strikes and you're out. My guess is you're going to get to like 50. Mid-50s is when you're going to run out,
okay,
I think.
Okay, my guess is around mid-40s, but
I think. Right, but we'll I also think you can get to 99.
All right, let's see how this goes.
All right, so here we go. All
right, number one.
Number one.
Cam Newton.
Confirmed Cam Newton is number one. Number two.
Okay, number two. Can it, any player?
By the way, you get 30 seconds to answer these.
Okay, Johnny Manziel.
That counts. That okay. counts. Keep going.
Three, Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Four, Brett Favre.
Brett Favre from Southern Miss.
Yep. Five, Teddy Bridgewater.
We'll have to check the tape.
I don't know why that one came to mind, but.
Yeah, he's number five. Keep going.
Number six. This is tough when you're put on the spot. Jay Cutler.
There we Jay go. Cutler. Jay Cutler, great pick.
Number seven. Man, this is a popular soccer number, but most of the quarterbacks tend to go with 10 or 12 in the league. Big Ben.
Big Ben Roethlisberger. Yep. We'll count it.
Okay. Number eight.
Alex Ovechkin.
That's a great hockey player, but
you're right.
Not a football player. Number eight. Oh, Steve Young.
Steve Young. I'm going to have to check that one because I don't know if he's right.
Okay. Nine, Drew Brees. 10, Mitch Trubisky.
Steve Young. I don't. Is he number? Is he number? Is,
I'm pretty sure he's number eight.
Oh, he's number. Oh, you said eight? Yeah. Oh, yeah, then you're right.
Number 11. Julio Jones.
Well, that counts.
12, Aaron Rodgers. Third.
Popular not to say Tom Brady.
Yeah,
that's bold.
I don't really care for Tom Brady. 13, Odell Beckham Jr. 14, Jarvis Landry on the Dolphins.
We'll count it. Yeah. We'll count it.
15. Oh, gosh.
Oh, my. 15?
15.
Come on. The greatest football player of all time.
Who are we thinking of, Matt?
Don't phone your friend on this one.
15.
Oh my gosh, this one hurts.
Just going through the
what the NFL plays on Sundays. 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 Who loves Sundays? Who loves Sundays? You're 5 seconds.
Can I phone a friend?
Tim Tebow.
Oh, good. That was a good hand, actually. Okay.
All right. He's out of phone of friends.
16, Jared Goff. 17, Ryan Tannehill. 18, Peyton Manning.
Mm.
19, Johnny Unitas.
Wow. That's a good pick.
Yeah. Not many people like 19 nowadays.
Why not?
They just don't
wear it much. Okay,
yeah, they don't wear it much.
I thought there was some controversy.
No, Johnny Unitas was a great quarterback. 20, Darren McFadden. 21, LaDainian Tomlinson. 22, Emmitt Smith. 23.
I have a funny one for this one.
Arian Foster.
I was going to say that guy from the Rams who pass interfered last week, like multiple times. Roby Chamberlain,
Roby Coleman, or, yeah,
whatever. You know.
24. Ryan Matthews.
Yeah, we're going with Ryan Matthews at 24. Great number 24.
25. Reggie Bush.
Number 24. It counts.
26. Clinton Portis.
Clinton Portis out of Minnesota.
I don't remember where Clinton Portis went.
That's surprising. I feel like you would have known that.
27. Oof. Oh, gosh. Ray Rice. I'm sorry. That was the first one that came in mind.
We're cutting. editor, put in Eddie George for number 27. Editor, I edit these and I'm not going to edit it. Right. But 27 is Eddie George. We said Eddie George. Let the record show we said Eddie George.
28, Adrian Peterson. 29, Eric Berry. 30. Oh, man, who's 30?
I'm impressed. I would have been done at like 7, I think. The clock starts.
I'm trying to think of running backs and like safeties and cornerbacks, but it's kind of tough. Can I go ahead and go 32 and come back to?
No, you can't go. You gotta go in order.
Oh gosh, 30.
Are you kidding me? You love this guy.
30?
Yes. He just got a ring this year.
Oh, Corey Clement?
That's not who I was thinking of, but is that he's number 30?
Oh,
he's
wait, Todd 30. Gurley. Todd Gurley.
And James Conner.
James. Oh, shoot.
Your whole team was number 30.
Oh, oh man. That was rough.
Oh, man, but Corey Clement counts.
I was thinking Super Bowl ring, but yeah, he won fantasy championship too. Let's see, 31. Jamal Lewis.
I don't know if that's true. We'll have to check the tape on that one. Keep going while I check.
32, Eric Weddle.
I do know that one.
33.
31, you were correct.
33.
Oh my, everyone's number 33.
Is Dalvin Cook number 33?
I think so. Yep, number 33.
Cool. 34.
The silence is petrifying. Derek is searching the deepest depths of his mind, trying to find out who's number 34. Quite the common number for a football player. Surprising you can't think of one.
Not very popular amongst running backs and
Paul Pierce.
Backs.
Paul Pierce is number 34.
Yeah, that's a basketball player.
You're correct.
You know, I'm stumped on 34. I know
is
when
that
I
a strike.
When I, yeah, I'll take a strike.
All right, Derek hit a strike at number 34.
I forgot I had strikes, but all right.
Two strikes left.
All right, 35. This one's probably going to be just as difficult.
Pecorine. Kevin Durant.
Oh, man. 35, CJ Anderson.
That's a big pick right there.
Yeah.
That's a big pick. We're on to 36. This is where it gets kind of iffy.
was the bus 36.
Jerome Bettis? Let's yeah. check.
Cool.
He's safe. He continues.
Sean Alexander, 37.
Oh, good pick. Good pick. I don't know. It sounds right, though.
He's 37.
Okay, cool. It counts. 38. Well, Derek, thanks. I just want to give a shout out to the Nashville Predators. Coming off of a 10-day break tomorrow. Playing Ryan Hartman should be playing. He's number 38, if that's trying to jog your memory. He's not been playing great this season, but we still support him. We still think he's doing okay. I'm sure he'll finish strong for us. Ooh.
That guy for the Cowboys, Heath. His last name's Heath.
Heath, I know who you're talking about.
He plays safety and he's the backup kicker.
Jeff Heath, 38. Yeah. What a play! We're gonna count that one. Two strikes. It goes on.
All right. 39. Oh, this one's tough.
Philip Forsberg. Hopefully, he can get back on a scoring streak. Victor Arvidsson had a very productive year or January scoring the puck. Like to see him continue with that. Get the Joe Feline bag intact, really, all in all. That's gonna be really important for this stretch down the run. Lock up a good playoff spot, then get ready for this run in the playoffs. Hopefully Pekkarinen can stay solid. UC Saros, our backup goalie, has been playing great this year. So hopefully whenever we need him, he'll be able to come through for us. Yeah, while we have this break on Derek's thinking on number 39, I want to thank our sponsors for today's episode. Dasani Water Bottles and the City of Gainesville, actually. City of Gainesville, we're sorry we forgot your greatest treasure, Tim Tebow, at number 15. We still hate you, and we hope you hate us too. So that wraps up our ads for the day. Derek, you got anything on 39 yet?
You know, I just see it in my head, a running back from the mid-2000s, and I just can't put it into words, man.
Yeah. I get that. So
I think I'm going to take a strike.
This is tough, because I kind of was hoping you would get to 99.
Oh.
I had that scheduled into the podcast that we would take 15 minutes to get to number 99.
Yeah, I think we're already pushing time. But 40... Peyton Hillis,
that counts.
41, Alvin Kamara.
We'll have to check with the judges, because his name is Alvin Kamara. Let's see if they allow it. Yes, the judges are allowing that, but they just want you to be sure next time to say Kamara.
Okay. 42. Has Mark Barron been 42 at some point
Mark
in his
Barron?
Life?
I've never heard of Mark Barron.
He's a safety out of Alabama about 7 years ago.
He's number 26.
He is 26 right now, but for some reason I think he's been number 42 in the past.
Who did he used to play for?
He was 24.
He was 24?
Yeah, he played for the Bucks, and now he plays for the...
That's real tough.
That's unfortunate.
That's it. That's strike three. You know, I was really hoping you'd get to number 44 and say our favorite player on this podcast, Ahmad Bradshaw, but unfortunately we didn't get that far.
Did you have a 42 in mind, Matt?
No.
Okay, well, I'm proud. I wanted to get to Alvin Kamara.
That would have been fun. Just fun to say that. Before we wrap up, let's talk about Tennessee basketball. Everyone's favorite topic. How are you feeling about the team right now?
I like where the team's at. We squeaked out the win in overtime against Vandy. It was Grant Williams' best game to this date. Watch for him as a sleeper for National Player of the Year, because all the media does is pump in facts about how great Zion Williamson is, but he's only a freshman.
Let's be real just for 1 second. There's no way Zion's not winning Player of the Year, even though he probably doesn't deserve it. I think that guy Howard out of Marquette, he's pretty fun.
Yeah, he's a good guy too, but the way I see Player of the Year, I really think the award has more of a career aspect built into it rather than just being the guy with the best stats and the best team. Because I've seen Grant Williams mature as a basketball player and become the great elite player that he is today. He deserves definitely to be, wherever they're having the award ceremony, he definitely needs to be one of the finalists. And he's definitely a first ballot All-American this year.
I agree with that. I agree with your analysis of the Player of the Year award, too, because one of my favorite players of all all time is someone who progressed through his career and really built up something special. Ron Baker, the shot maker. Love Ron Baker, the shot maker. He probably deserved a few player of the years too. I want to say Mitch Trubisky, but that's not his name. It's Grayson Allen. His name is Grayson Allen.
Grayson Allen actually finished second in the year he was up for it. But some guys we look at in the past, we see the Jimmer Fredette types. That,
averaging, 98 points a game in China right now?
Probably. He got a lot of points that magical year in BYU. But man,
you got to love a player who just pull up from anywhere and make it sometimes. Yeah. You know?
Yep. You gotta love this Tennessee basketball team, where they're going right now. I predict they're going to win their next few games and then roll into Kentucky, and it's going to be probably a top five matchup at that point. Kentucky's playing great nowadays. I hate to say it, but it's going to be one great game when two meet in Rupp.
Let me just say this. I also hate to say that Kentucky's going to be playing well, but they look okay.
Yeah. Right now, my big four teams, who I think is going to be in the Final Four at the end of the year, are Tennessee, Kentucky, Duke, and I think Gonzaga is actually going to be my fourth. I'm leaving Virginia and Michigan out for a couple reasons. One, they're great at defense, but if they get matched up against a team that can hit a couple threes.
Virginia's trash.
If they can just hit a couple threes, I think that somebody can upset Virginia. Also, second, Michigan. Watching Michigan play against Wisconsin, that just showed me that if you just play solid defense and get their good players into foul trouble, you can beat Michigan.
Michigan, I also watched that Wisconsin game. They looked awful. They looked like they didn't even deserve to be in the top 25, much less the number two team in the country at that point. So that was tough to watch. It's kind of embarrassing that if they won that game, they would have been the number one team in the country. So I think they're an early exit in the tournament. They almost lost to South Carolina, who was not playing well at that point. That's where I'm at. Remember that guy from that Iowa school, Jesperson, hit that half court shot to
Northern
Iowa. Yeah, he's fun guy.
Yep, great college player.
Yeah. So if anyone knows where to find something Jesperson to get him on the podcast, please let him know that we're his biggest fans and we'd love to sit down with him. Here's my final four. Tennessee, obviously. So I think that's going to wrap up the show. This has been the Backup Quarterback Show. Please be sure to tell your parents about our show. Thank you to our sponsor, City of Gainesville, Dasani Water Bottles. We appreciate you. Be sure to watch the Super Bowl. That's our message for the week. Just watch the Super Bowl. Have a great week. My name is Matt Howard.
My name is Derek Anderson.
And I'm Matt Howard. Good night.